Hi, welcome to best-selling author Darlene Braden's 15-week Sabbatology course. Sabbatology is the science of how to overcome self-sabotage and control your thinking with the result of living your life with choice. Your mind is infinitely powerful, and Darlene will explain specifically how you can easily awaken and navigate your unconscious thoughts. Darlene brings to her clients across the globe a breadth of knowledge and practical experience. She draws from a wide variety of personal empowerment tools ranging all the way from Eastern philosophy to modern tangible techniques. She helps her clients to address issues on a behavioral level with external challenges or on a deeper level concerning unconscious awareness. Because you have purchased this course, you are ready for significant change in your life, be it in your environment, your skill level, or building lasting self-esteem. No matter where you are at this time in your life, this course will gently and powerfully guide you to put your life together and reach your next level of success. It's exciting to know it is possible to achieve rapid and lasting growth. Now, a little bit about Darlene. Darlene's own journey of self-discovery began decades ago and escalated after a car accident where she broke her back and her best friend was killed. Over the years, she has discovered how to implement simple techniques for overcoming even the most devastating situations and turning them into experiences of empowerment. She holds a Bachelor of Science in Human Development and Family Studies from the University of Utah. She has received certifications as a clinical hypnotherapist, Master Neuro-Linguistic Programming Practitioner, Health Practitioner, and Reiki Master. She has completed the Alcohol and Drug Abuse Treatment Training Program at the University of Utah and has worked in secure delinquent facilities. She enjoys success as a professional platform speaker, corporate trainer, and business life coach. With boundless energy and a true joy for life, she has also become a top aerobics instructor, avid runner, and fitness professional while raising 5 successful children. She is also a composer and singer and has published 2 songs. She has a private practice in Utah and has helped thousands overcome self-sabotage and live life with purpose and passion. Now, we are sure that you will learn many things you didn't know that you didn't know. So to prepare, 1, get out your manual, which is your book, What Stops You? Overcome Self-Sabotage, Personal and Professional. 2, get a notebook to write in. 3, make sure you read the corresponding chapter in your book before starting each session. 4, block out about 1 hour of uninterrupted time and listen to 1 session per week. Each recording is about 30 to 45 minutes running time, and on occasion you will be asked to pause the audio to write your thoughts or fill in answers. 5, it is also important to have a drink of water next to you and sip it throughout the session. 6, go to Darlene's personal website, www.darlenebraden.com, for further information and many complimentary products. That's www.darlenebraden.com. At times during this course, you will laugh, at times you may cry. Sometimes you will be entertained, and sometimes you will be in a deep state of meditation. Are you ready for the journey of your life? Good. Now here's Darlene.
Hi, this is Darlene Braden, and I want to welcome you to my 15-week Sabbatology course. I want to thank you, and I want to tell you how excited I am and how privileged I feel to be able to spend time with you. Together, we're going to take immediate action and control your life at a whole new level. My purpose is for you to enjoy incredible, deep, and lasting change and learn how to control your thinking, and then, as a result, live, and I mean live, the life of your dreams. As I mentioned, this course contains the how, not just the what. My guess is that you already know what to do. Be nice, be good, be kind, love your enemy, keep your office clean, make sales calls, right, etc. But how do you do it? Now, in a moment, I'm going to explain how your brain works. And you are going to learn many things you didn't know that you didn't know. Now, in order to get going, let's pull out your manual and get prepared. Your manual is your What Stops You book. Your What Stops You Overcoming Self-Sabotage, both personal and professional. Go ahead and bring that out. You also need a journal or a pad of paper or a yellow pad, a legal pad. It's a great thing to use. Go ahead and pause this recording and get what you need. Now that you have what you need, I need to ask you a very important question. How motivated are you for change? 1 to 1 million, a million being the most. If you are only at 500,000, you're probably not ready. Now, I need you to be at least a 700,000 or 900,000 or more so you're excited and you're ready for change. And to help your commitment level, I want you to back up and see yourself over there. See yourself in the life the way it is now. Look at your life categories. Look at your body. Look at your body on the front, back, and the side. Look at the money in your life. Look at people around you and look at every aspect now. With no changes at all, none, project yourself into the future 5 years. Do you like what you see? Is that the life you want? Is that the life you dream of? If you said yes, you probably don't need this system. If you said no, or if you said it's frightening, or just simply it's just not okay, then you are ready. So how much have you rated yourself now? 1 to 1 million. Because you purchased this program, I'm going to assume that it is not okay and you are ready to make significant change. Now, if you need to press pause and do 15 jumping jacks and scream out the window, I'm ready, do it! On a scale from 1 to 1 million, how ready are you now? Okay, open your manual, your book, your self-sabotage book to the preface, page X1V. Now, before we continue with our weekly sessions, it will be important for you to have read the corresponding chapters, and I will give you the reading assignments and other tasks to complete as we go. If you haven't already, go ahead and press pause and read the preface. With each session, I will discuss the chapters, and I will intend to give you even greater insight into your own mind and your own choices. Preface. The reason I wrote this book is to assist you in finding inner peace and meaning in your life, to live the life of your dreams. I told you I was going to explain how your brain works. This is how your brain works. You have a conscious mind and you have an unconscious mind. And in order to control this, you need to understand how the conscious works and how the unconscious works. And they're not the same, trust me. Now, the unconscious mind is absolutely aware of billions of pieces of information at the same time. Now, the conscious mind isn't. The conscious mind can only think about or process about 5 to 9 bits of information. The scientific formula is 7 ± 2 bits of information. That equals 5 to 9 things that you can process kind of at the same time. The microwave's going. Got to remember to put in your sales receipt. You've got to think about this. Somebody comes in, talks to you, and you can only process about 5 things that are going on at the same time. And pretty soon, if someone else starts talking to you, you might say, stop it. That's way too much for my mind to process. And so we need to really control and selectively attend to those 5 to 9 bits. The average person, about 5. So really be careful of what your conscious mind is thinking about. Now, 98% of your mind is the unconscious part. And the unconscious part is aware of, for example, let's do it right now. Go ahead and just kind of pause your mind and just notice what's going on around you that you didn't notice before. And as the book said, it had some examples. So another example might be the cars in the street going by or your stomach growling. You didn't notice that before. How about blinking? Is everyone who's listening to my voice blinking right now? Hopefully, you're blinking without consciously thinking about it. And when you consciously think about it, then you can begin to control a conscious action that was unconscious before. So you can bat your eyes, or you can slow your blinking down and control it and change it by bringing an unconscious process to the conscious awareness. Whoa, that's pretty simple. How about your breathing rate? You can begin to be aware that you were breathing when a moment ago you weren't thinking about your breathing, I'm thinking. So your breathing rate can go faster, like your doggy, or very slow, or labored. And you can change the way you breathe. You're changing an unconscious process by bringing it conscious. It's amazing the power we have in our mind. And this is how to control our thinking. And as we go, I'm going to teach you so many more things. Now, NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, is one of the methods that I use. And NLP explores, as it says in the book, in very precise terms, the images, sounds, and feelings that make up our inner and outer world. How do you know that a pleasant memory is pleasant? Isn't that an interesting question? How do I know it's pleasant? And don't say just because it feels pleasant. We need to go way deeper in analyzing the inside of our brain to know how it works so we can control it. How do you know a memory's pleasant? Because my breath is smooth. It's not labored. My energy is flowing, if you know what that means. The energy in my legs is the same as the energy in my head. And some of you may not understand everything that I say. And through the course of this book and the sessions, hopefully a lot of these things may make sense that may not in the beginning. The energy is the same in my legs as in my head. I can think clearly. I have kind of a lifting feeling in my chest. That's how I know a memory's pleasant. How do I know it's bad? Because I feel like I'm going to throw up and gag and I can't breathe and I'm not breathing and I'm holding my breath and there's no blood in my head and I can't think while I'm trying to think. That's how I know a memory isn't good. Now, let's talk about how we code information even more specifically. There are three ways that we code information. All of us, everyone, in every culture, in every country, in every part of the world, in every age, we all process information in three different ways. Write this down in your notebook. Write a V, and underneath that, a few spaces down, write an A, and then write a K. The V is for visual, and in later chapters, we'll review this as well. So for now, V means visual. A means auditory, and again, write this down. K is kinesthetic. Visual are the pictures we make inside of our mind. Every one of us has a visual memory. Every single one of us has a visual memory. So if someone you loved and adored came in the room, would you recognize them? Yep, you would, because you've had it coded visually inside your brain. And every single one of us has a code of information inside of our brain of memories. So if we have a bad memory of our neighbor yelling at us and the picture's right in front of our face, but we don't know it because we're grocery shopping and talking to neighbors, but inside our mind, oh yeah, that unconscious mind has got that visual picture right in front of your face unconsciously, and it's bugging you. And it's affecting you. Absolutely affecting you. So I'm going to teach you ways to simply move that picture over to the right or left, or move it back, or make the color different, and it changes how you feel. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Something you're learning you didn't know, eh? Now, the next one is auditory. Auditory echoes in our head. Most of us have critical voices going in our little brains. We're not completely sure that's happening because I feel fine. I'm dressed up to go out to a movie, and yet in my mind, there's this echo playing and playing ever so softly in my mind, in my audio brain, that's affecting how I feel. And each one of us, most of us, have critical voices somewhere, from a parent, a spouse, someone, somewhere in our life that causes it to feel yucky because of this voice. Problem is, you don't know you have the voice. If I talk to a group of 200 people and I'd say, how many of you have echoes in your brain and in your mind that play over and over that are negative? And because I've presented so many times in a large audience, I'm going to tell you, I probably would get 50% of the hands going up. Now, telling you the truth, 100% of them have them, and only 50 are aware. So awareness is the big homework throughout this entire series, because it is happening. It's just where, when, and then we can discover what to do about it. The next one is kinesthetic. And kinesthetic is your body's sensation. How do you feel inside your body? Meaning your heart rate, temperature of your skin, your blood pressure, all sorts of body sensations is a kinesthetic. So let's play with these three modalities, visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Now what I want you to do, and in the book you pictured yourself on a vacation, and then you pictured yourself how you would respond if a loved one was being hurt. Well, let's just kind of change the stories a little bit and realize that this happens no matter what you're thinking. So the first one would be a vacation. So picture yourself somewhere in the world on a nice vacation spot. Anywhere you want. There can be snow or sand and ocean. It's up to you. What do you feel kinesthetically? Now, notice I didn't say emotionally. Isn't that interesting? We're not talking about emotions right now. And just by the way, emotions are manifest in the kinesthetic body. So if you're at your vacation spot and you're feeling calm, what does calm feel like in your body? If you're feeling peaceful, what does peaceful feel like in your body? If you're feeling excited, what's excited kinesthetically? So let's go with a kinesthetic. And how do you see pictures that surround you? Do you see them in color, black and white, moving or still? Do you see things accurate size, larger than life, smaller than life? Are things wiggling in your head? So really close your eyes. Imagine you're somewhere and notice your representations. Is your peripheral vision open or closed? No right or wrong, just noticing. Your task is to notice. And just enjoy that for a moment. And we will be doing a meditation in one of the upcoming sessions. Now, in contrast, just kind of let that go and then think of your favorite thing, like a spider that's really ugly or a snake that's really scary or something you really don't like. And if you really, really, really thought about that and you really imagined it and you really could kind of feel it by you and coming at you and it's really ugly. And if you're thinking of a spider, you might even imagine that it's, you know, a jumping spider, and you might imagine that it's like pregnant. And it's not Charlotte. It's a real yucky, ugly spider that's mean and poisonous and all bad stuff. And if you really, really put that on and you really, really felt it and imagined it, and I went out and got lunch and I'd come back, you'd probably be dead because your heart would stop. And you really get into it so much that you really, really change your breathing rate. I will watch clients across the room for me on the couch, and I'll say, picture the spider, and they stop breathing completely altogether. There's no energy in their head. And I'm like, okay, it's okay now. You can breathe. It's really not real. And they let that go. So go ahead and let that go. Yeah. If we were really doing a meditation and I brought that all in, you would not feel very good. Now, you have let that go. Now see the sunshine again. You're all back with me. How profound is that? By a mere thought that wasn't real, I couldn't see it. I couldn't see what you were visualizing. You were thinking about it. You're not breathing. Your brain's numb. By a mere thought, you were able to change your bodily functions on a conscious and an unconscious level. So let's see. Your hormone production was probably a little bit different. All of your DNA could have changed, who knows, from that thought. So it's pretty important to learn to control your thinking because you have hormone production and lots of changes inside. So when you think a happy thought, you're going to have dopamine, serotonin, all sorts of really great things going on inside your physical body. And this is why we cannot separate your physical body from your mind. And then where does the spirit come in there? The spirit is mingled in there as well. And so we must recognize and honor all three of those pieces. And keeping in mind that we have so much power inside, I'd like to introduce Anna to you and learn about how she thinks and notice the patterns that she's using that limit her. So go ahead and pause this audio and read chapter 1. So you've met Anna. Now, Anna is determined. Anna is ready to start. Are you? I think we've established, yes, you are. She is. How does she take control of her life? Because she's not doing very well here in the beginning. And really, she's not doing very well. So as I said, she called me and really sounded upset and disturbed. And of course, I meet with people all the time who are upset and disturbed. So that was nothing new. Yet, as I mentioned, something inside me just really wanted to help her as a friend. Now, we used to dream. We used to have a life where we thought about our futures that were great, and back in high school, and as years have passed, what's changed? And if you really think about analyzing, and we're going to do a lot of analyzing people's thought patterns, you will notice or imagine that she's probably seeing visually inside her life being kind of dark. And literally 100% of everyone I've met that seems really down or depressed or really not excited for life, they actually visualize their future darkly. They don't see a bright and clear future. So Anna sees her future dark. And I'd like each one of you to pause in your mind and say, okay, if I think of 2 years away or 1 year or 5 years, how bright is that picture? Is it a really bright, bright picture? Just vivid? No, it's most of the time it's really not bright and vivid. If you're feeling like you really are struggling, it's kind of dark. And that's how Anna's visual interpretations are. And I didn't write that in the book. And again, this course is really expanding the learnings of the book. Now, what do you think is going on in her mind auditorily? Probably echoes from the past or wah, 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 or something where she's not really hearing accurately. So when people or her boss says something to her, she probably hears it echo. If he says, well, you didn't do that very well, all day long she'll hear duh in her mind possibly. Now, kinesthetically, she's probably got some feelings in her body. And as you'll see and learn and read, if you haven't already, that she has a pit in her stomach that we bring up later, that's an emotional pit that's in her stomach, and we'll negotiate that. So that's a kinesthetic thing, that pit in her stomach. So as you've noticed more about you, and I call it an inventory, to really pause and stop and take an inventory of your visual pictures, auditory sounds, and kinesthetic awareness throughout your day. And so that would be one of your first homeworks this week before we meet next week. Is as you're driving, say, okay, what am I looking at? And, you know, you might notice that you're seeing your desk really messy, just all over your brain. And if I said, okay, so what else do you see? Oh, gosh, I see my kids running all over, and I see my kitchen really messy, and I see da da da. And, you know, what is it that you see inside your visual pictures inside? And when you're aware of them, that's when you can begin to take control. And I haven't showed you what to do with the pictures yet, and we will. For now, really notice. So Anna, we can assume, has these pictures all over that are gray or not there, and the rest of the things that we discovered about her. And so then you wonder why she wants to get better, because she doesn't feel good, of course, but what is that inside of her that has this driving need to succeed? That's an interesting question. What is it inside of you? My listener, my friend, you who are listening to this audio, what is it that causes you to want to strive besides getting away from pain and going towards pleasure? We've established that, I think, in the world that most of us do that. There's more than just wanting to get out of pain and increase your pleasure. That's definitely huge, yet there's more. So what is it? What is it? In the book, I say, what is it that causes us to want to climb a mountain when it's hard or reach for things that are hard? And I'd love to tell you about this study that I learned about in one of my first psychology classes. I apologize, I'm not sure where the study comes from. I have to go back to my old books. It's about babies in a crib, and they're studying progress and striving and the innate inborn need to grow and progress. They take a baby in a little crib, and they put a mobile over the crib, and they notice the baby reaches and bats for this mobile. And the babies were about 6 to 8 weeks old is all. Then they would put another item in the crib, and the baby would play and bat with that. So it had two objects to play with. Then what they did is they took one of the objects and moved it just up a little, so the baby actually had to reach and strive to hit it. And when they observed this baby, they observed that the baby would play more with the object it could barely reach than with the object it could easily reach. Wow. The study proved that we are all born wanting to grow and strive and stretch ourselves from a 6-week-old baby. So that's one of the innate reasons that you, that I, and Anna want to strive, grow, reach, and progress. So it's just there. It's already there. That's cool. And we talk about motivation. Well, if you just uncover yourself a little bit, shake off a little bit, you've already got motivation. Every single one of you already have motivation deeply inside of you that causes you to want to listen to this audio, to learn and just grasp on to everything that you're hearing that you can use in your life to really make significant change. Now, understand that we are all so similar. You and that baby in the crib and I, we are just all so similar. I love to think about this room of 200 people. How about 1,000 people, all right? Got 1,000 people in my audience, and I ask everyone to stand up. And I say, okay, everyone out there, I want you to raise your hand if you desire to strive and grow. And they're all going to raise their hand. Then I'll say, okay, how many of you out there want freedom? And every single person is going to raise their hand. How many of you out there want choice? It's amazing. Not one person said no. And then I ask, how many of you want personal empowerment? 100%. How about safety? Everyone out there who wants safety, mental safety, emotional safety, and physical safety, raise your hand. We're so similar. Then I ask, how many of you want to be accepted? And I mean in an appropriate way, where you're not badgered for your thoughts. You're just accepted, like your dog accepts you. How many of you want that in your life? And then I say, okay, how many of you want peace in your life? Raise your hand if you want peace. So we got 1,000 people who all want exactly the same things. We are so similar to one another. And that's what's exciting about self-help courses, about talking to one another, about being connected, is that we can help and assist each other because I want the same thing you want. I haven't always had power and safety and peace in my life. And I've got stories to tell about my life of sadness and pain and absolute despair to where I could not believe that I didn't die. And many times, well, not many, there's a few select times in my life I could not believe I didn't die from the despair of emotion. And then most of you have heard about my back accident. And that's a whole nother story of wanting that choice and that safety from that pain and the freedom to move. So, you know, I'm with you and we're together in our quest. And my quest really led me to say, you know what? It's not okay that I have this pain. It's not okay that I have despair. What do I do about it? And just like you, I reach out and purchase programs like this. I've purchased 1 billion of them. Well, okay, hundreds of them. And read so many books. I have had situations where I have an issue and waltz into a bookstore with my credit card. And I walk out with an armful of books on one subject and study it. Then, of course, like you, like many people, I'll go to school and take a class and really learn higher education about that situation. And in my quest and in my learnings is what has brought me to this place to assist you is the learnings that I've had in terms of NLP and the unconscious mind. And also I learned a ton about drug treatment, took a whole program about that, and hypnosis and all of these Eastern ways in addition to the Western schools of thought. And so for me, bringing the Western and the Eastern world together was a wonderful and is a wonderful, powerful thing for me to be able to use so many learnings. And so I really recommend that you do the same. Reach out to learn, and then don't just learn it, do it. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, about taking action on what you learn, because learning, it's only one thing, is taking the action, really going forward. So within all of my learnings, what is the sum of it? And the sum would be to say that there is peace after all. There really is. And I tell Anna that, and I tell you that there is peace. Well, we need to describe peace and define what peace is. And I love my definition. Peace to me is when a person is in one peace. What does that mean? Now, if I looked at you, I'm guessing you look like you're one person, and I look like I'm one person. We all look like we're one person, but the fact is we're really, really not one person, because inside of us are so many people going on. We've got a happy part, a sad part, a mad part, an angry part, a loving part, a joyful part. We've got parts of us that want this, parts of us that want that, and that's where the conflict comes. And that's what causes us to not be in peace, one piece, because conflict splits us. Part of me wants to eat. Part of me wants to be thin. Part of me wants to sleep in. Part of me wants to get up early and get so many things done. You have parts. I have parts. We all have so many of our parts. Now, really and truly, we don't have multiple personality disorder. That's not what I'm talking about. This is the average human normal stuff that has parts. Part of me wants to have a day timer and be really, really good at time management. There's another part of me that says, you know, that's just a little too constrictive for me and restrictive, and I don't really like that. Does that sound or feel familiar to many of you? Some of you, yes. Some of you, no. So it's about recognizing and, again, diagnosing the conflicts inside. And we will be going through the manual, and there'll be places for you to pause the audio and really, really discover. So I'm just kind of setting you up here to recognize and realize that if you don't have peace in your life, there's a reason. The reason is because you're not in one piece, because if you're in one piece, then you're fine. If all of you want something, all of me wants to go to a movie, then it's great going to that movie. But what if I have a part of me that says, gosh, I really don't have time for this? And another part that goes, man, I'm just going to eat way too much, you know, candy at the movie. And another part that says, oh my gosh, I've seen that movie 8 times. Then you have another part of you that says, yeah, but my kids really want to see it, or my friends really want to see the movie, and I'll get great joy being with them. So part of me wants to go and be with them. And part of me wants to just stop working for a little bit and enjoy some time away. Part of me wants to sit and watch a nonsensical something where I don't have to think about my real life. So we've got all these parts about a movie. And again, we will go through, what do you do about it? Well, just to tell you, an easy way to start and a place to start is to, one, write this down. Recognize there's a conflict. And then you can chat with both parts and go, all righty then. So part of me wants to go to the movie, part doesn't. So what can I do about that? This is no inner child, weird, deep, suppressed issue. This is just a movie. And let's see, okay, so what if I time managed it? I put it in ahead of time, planned on it, chose the movie, decided my intent was to watch the people I'm going with watch the movie I've seen 8 times. And also, I kind of like those little milk dud things, so I'll enjoy that. And I've banked that into my calories. So we're all good to go. And 100% of me wants to go to the movie. It's a beautiful thing. And that's called peace. And my intent is to help you have peace in almost, just almost all of the time. And so the minute you start to not have peace, you stop and go, what's up? And then shift it immediately. It's awesome. And that's control of your life, control of your thinking. And we'll really get into that a lot more in the sessions to come. So the definition in your book on page 8 of conflict is a struggle, clashing of views or statements, and to meet in opposition, and to be antagonistic. So that's conflict. Now, moving into sabotage. Well, what is that? It's the title of my book. It's Sabotology Course. What is sabotage? Well, sabotage, according to Webster, and I really like to honor. I don't know what Webster does all day, but I just think, and I don't even know if he's still alive, but I just think he's really cool because you got to have something going on to be able to define words as well as he does. And I think he's old and I don't know that yet. So I probably need to find out because some of his definitions go back to wartime and as in his sabotage definitions. So I really honor him and respect him. And I think when you're talking to anyone, it's a good thing to say, well, what's the definition of what you're talking about? Because it could be very different. So to get us all on the same page, sabotage is an act or process tending to hamper or hurt or deliberate subversion. Destructive or obstructive action carried on by a civilian or enemy agent to hinder a nation's war effort. So it's about in wartime when you do things to hinder the war effort, and that's where sabotage came. Now, in addition, one of my clients explained to me, she was a professional writer and she did research on words as well. And I love what she told me and explained to me. She says the peasants years ago, I don't know what year it was, years and years and years ago, centuries ago, they had the sabots that they made, which were little shoes. The peasants made these little shoes and that was their job. And every day they'd make shoes and it was really cool and it was really great for their little economy. And one day the door opened and in came a big machine that made shoes. Oh no, it made shoes. So what you're saying is that machine is going to take over my job? Peasants didn't like that idea. So in the middle of the night, one peasant went over and took a sabot, a shoe, and stuck it in the machine and jammed the machine and broke it. And so the owners came in the next day and were very amazed. Our machine's broken. Oh no. And the peasants got their job back. And thus came the word sabotage from the shoe that ruined the machine. So what a cool little description. And if you think about it, if your whole body is a system and part of your body is hurting the other part, that would be sabotage, just like you're ruining the shoe or the thing that makes the shoe. And that's what sabotage is. Part of you is coming in and hurting the other part. So the part of me that wants to enjoy my life and go to the movie, the other part's all, you know, totally the Gestapo saying, you can't go to the movie, you have to work. And it just kind of mucks me up, you know, and it just kind of hurts the whole system. Now, sabotage, self-sabotage is most likely hidden. If it's really obvious, I call it conflict. If it's hidden, it's sabotage. It's that little thing inside that's saying, you don't deserve to go to a movie and relax. You don't deserve to enjoy yourself. You need to work. Work is good. That is all that is good. You have to work really hard. And then your other side's like, okay, I'm sorry. And then you deny the reality of your whole self. And sabotage that was hidden can hurt you. It's about bringing out our sabotage and acknowledging where it is and finding it again. Notice, notice, notice. Diagnosis, diagnosis, diagnosis. That should be the subtitle of this series. You can't solve a problem unless you know what the problem is. Let me repeat. You can't solve a problem unless you know what the problem is. So finding and diagnosing that problem is such a great place for you to start as this chapter subheading, deciding to start the diagnosis and the learning. So let's review a little bit of homework and then we'll continue just a little bit and wrap up for this session. So your first homework is to notice your visual, auditory, and kinesthetic awareness. And I'll go over it in a minute. And then the next thing is to notice conflicts. So write those two homeworks down. Rules for Anna, for me to work with her, were rules that I have to guide me so that I can be congruent with working with someone so I won't be sabotaging myself or I won't be in conflict with working with you. and that all of me wants to work with you on some conditions, and all of me wants to work with Anna on some conditions. So here are my conditions that help me be really invested in working with you. The first one is to be really open to learning and willing to change. I'm assuming you're already open, because if you're like, I don't believe that, uh-uh, well, what's she talking about? Then I'm thinking you probably wouldn't be listening to this, so I'm going to assume that you're really there on number one, that you're really open, and actually to help you do that, almost visualize opening up a zipper, like you're zipping your soul open. Now, then, put a screen between me and you. So first of all, you zipped open your heart and your mind. Kind of scary, maybe, because what if I said something that you didn't agree with? So the next thing that's really going to honor the unconscious parts of you that might object to anything I may say. I mean, you know, I believe that when you're listening to someone new, you've got to decide if it works for you. I really honor that. So now take a visual metaphorical screen and put it kind of between me and you. And in that screen, it's like one of those Indian dream catchers. You've got this nice screen, and if I say something that you don't believe, then let it kind of sit on the screen until you decide if you like it or not. Other things can come through the screen and really go into your soul and your heart and your mind. You are the one that controls your screen. You don't want a window so you just look and not feel, and you don't want a door, because that's not going to work for you in this course. You want that nice screen that could possibly screen out everything, and I don't tell people to accept immediately everything I say. It's totally okay for people to close one eye, tilt their head, and go, what do you mean by that? And that's okay. It's okay, because I am talking to all of you. I am not just talking to your brain, and I'm not just talking to your heart. I'm talking to your soul, your gut, your spirit, all of you I care about. And so with caution, listen, and then be really open to really take in and take action for changes of things that work for you. The second rule is never miss an appointment. Okay, how does that apply for you? Make absolutely sure you're here next week. You're going to have some things to do this week in your brain, and a lot of your homework is think about it homework. It's not to-do homework sometimes. It's just think about it homework. So do your tasks, your homework, every single solitary week, and hang out with me to the very beautiful end, the crescendo, the amazing empowerment of the 15th week. Number three, as I said, complete all assignments. So number two is don't miss an appointment. Three is complete all assignments. Number four, read other books that I mention. Go research things that I say, like, wow, that's really cool. I'm going to go look that up on the web, and I'm going to go, you know, do a search on that word or that phrase or that idea. And really, really invest in learning beyond listening to this audio. So this week, when people say, so how are you doing? What are you doing lately? Say, oh, listen, I'm in a sabotology course. It's really cool. And so it's something that you're really investing heart, mind, soul, money, body, everything in this course. The fifth one is so important. Teach what you've learned this week to someone else, and I promise you, when you do, it will soak into your soul. The minute you teach a principle, you begin to understand it at a deeper neurological level. So teach other people, share, say, wow, I'm taking this sabotage course. It's really cool. She talked about the visual pictures we have in our mind. It's an NLP technique. Go look up NLP on the web and teach people about what it is to have pictures in their head, and talk to them and discover and share. They might have lots to add. Tell them about kinesthetic awareness and visualizing a spider. And isn't it interesting that when I visualize something like that, my whole body physiology changes? Discuss it over lunch with a friend. And when you do, you will learn at a much deeper level. So the next thing I want you to do this week is start to dream. That's your assignment as well. To dream again. dream big. What is a dream? A dream is a future picture of something you want, and you're not really thinking about how you're going to get it. You just dream it. And that's what's cool about dreams, is they're just there in vivid color. And it's not a process yet. I'm going to help you put your dreams into reality, because dreams alone, they're just all hypey, and they're all excitement, and they're all panicky, and I'm gonna, and you get really future-oriented. So I don't want you just to dream and then not do any more of my courses, because then you're left just being a dreamer. And that's, a dreamer's great along with action. So now we're going to chunk it down for your task. Is a dream is a beginning to having the life you want. So start to dream about your future. Dream about what you want to look like physically. In a few chapters, we'll talk about all 10 life categories. Just for now, just start opening up and throwing out some color in the future. Just generally, what do you want your life to be like, look like? And you know what? It's not real yet, so go for it. Dream it, because it's not real. So you can put anything out there you want. Maybe throw in, you know, a couple $1 million and play with that one for a little bit. And then throw in that you just climb Mount Everest without oxygen. Just kind of throw that in there. You know, it'd be kind of cool. And just kind of throw in that you're doing something you've always wondered about. Like, I own a bungee jumping company. Something really great. Or I see myself skydiving. Yes, I do. Something ridiculous, something fun, something exciting, and you and I together will get your dreams to be more of a reality. And ultimately, you will live that life you dream of that's realistic and achievable. Now let's review your homework. Number one, be really aware of your visual pictures in your mind this week. Auditory awareness, if you can. If you're not aware, that's okay. And kinesthetic, like, wow, I have a stomach ache every single time I see so-and-so. Or, you know, it's just kind of interesting that my throat closes up when I da-da-da, or I see such-and-such. Or, feel pressure in the shoulders when this occurs. And just notice patterns, okay? So that's the first homework. And the second one is to notice conflicts that you have. And the conflicts, you can write them down or just think about them this week, because later we'll write them all down. You can write them down if you want, but think about the conflicts. And then I want you to dream. And I want it to be absurd and big and cool and wow. And you're going to sprinkle some light and some yellow and some glitter and peripheral vision open and just get a sense of dreaming again. And I'm really looking forward to meeting with you next week when you've accomplished these tasks, and we'll move on to my principles of change. So I want you to read chapter 2. It's called What's in Your Backpack? Preparing for Change. Go ahead and read that entire chapter 2, and I will see you next week in my mind, and I will feel you in my heart, and we are building our long distance relationship together. And have a great week full of determination, motivation, and introspection, and we will talk to you next week.